Good morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys right here in Salem, Oregon. We're happy to be with you. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Gus.
Wow. How are you? It is a rainy day in Salem, Oregon, and it's a beautiful day.
Just what I was going to say, a beautiful day.
Blustery rain.
The land of liquid sunshine.
I was getting blown in coming, driving
blowing
in.
Blowing my little car sideways.
Baby, yeah. It was.
Try having a big car, like a van.
Oh.
It's like a sail.
There's a lot of surface area there.
Hey, but it's warm. I mean, we're in 50-degree weather. We're ready for a barbecue. It's really kind of balmy. It's balmy.
Spring is right around the corner.
Right. I wish.
Now, we got some tumultuous weather. It's okay, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it always is right around the corner here in this part of the world.
Yeah, you bet.
Unless you go up in the mountains, and they're getting a lot of snow.
Oh, that makes me so
happy.
We need it. We do. I mean, do you ever get really excited and happy about knowing you're going to be in the snow? I mean,
no,
do you ever get any joy from that?
No. Snow.
Really.
You know, when it snows, you just build a little bigger fire.
Snow is happiness.
It is.
I mean, I think it's part of the definition of happiness. Snow.
Snow.
Yeah. I mean, you ever seen little kids? I mean, when it snows, I mean, everyone runs outside, and what do?
Not just the little kids, the big ones too. Us.
I know, man. Did you watch some of those things? Like they had snow in some of the states that don't usually have snow.
Right.
Record amounts.
Yeah. And people are out there just playing.
Oh, they're just loving it. Yeah. You know, what a gift the Father gave us in snow. I mean, it's so crystal clear, white. Oh, it's just so fresh. And when it comes down, it's so quiet.
Exactly. It's just where I was headed. And we've got this liquid sunshine. We've got this frozen sunshine in Oregon. We get all forms of sunshine. It's happiness. It's a joyful thing.
I forgot about the silence with snow. I mean, when it rains, I mean, you hear rain.
Yeah, you hear
but
it.
But snow, it's like this.
Just floats down.
And then you walk in it and you get this.
Yeah.
In your feet. It's all you hear.
Yeah, it just transformed landscape. Mm-hmm. You that lives in the, you guys get snow, you guys take it for granted. Because when we get it, we're in anticipation, aren't we, guys?
We are joyful for the snow, but if I lived in Minnesota, I wonder how joyful I would be.
Oh, Gus, how are you? You were back there.
Well, you know, it was a lot of work shoveling that stuff 11 and a half months a year.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that much. It's just something you deal with, just like the heat in Arizona or any, you know, kind of situation.
Or our rain.
So what did you find joy in? I think the first level of snow would be okay, but then it gets really long, and then you're looking forward to spring.
Oh, yeah, and that's part of the joy of the snow. If you have a long winter season, things get icy, things get filled up with snowflakes everywhere, and you're cold, and you've got to bundle up, but it becomes a habit. And then you kind of sense the days are getting a little longer. You see these little rivulets of water out in the street, and you think, oh, spring's right around the corner.
Well, you know what I love in the valley?
Huh.
I've seen my daffodils coming up in December before.
So do you find joy in your daffodils?
I do. When I said, you know why?
What?
Because I said, spring's right around the corner. I don't know how far out the corner is.
Wow.
But when those little plants, they know. And it's pretty amazing.
You know, I always find it fascinating that whenever a new season comes on, everyone's really happy about it, right?
But then
the season goes on and on.
Well, yeah.
And then everyone's going, man, I just wish that summer
would come.
I'm ready for spring.
Summer, yeah.
So what causes us to maybe lose our joy? I don't know.
Well, we don't want to lose our joy because, you know, guy, that's why I love James 1.
Uh-oh.
Counter to joy.
Are you going to get philosophical with me right away?
No, his word is just religious. His word is truth, and I love that.
I do. I like it. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart.
What?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to say.
Stay.
And I've got the peace that passes understanding down.
So if you haven't caught on yet, we're going to be talking about
joy.
Well, joy, you know, and that just fits, right? Because last week it was what?
Hope.
And the week before?
Angst.
So we kind of got this crescendo going up, don't we?
Yeah. Hey, I'm liking this part a lot better than I did the first part.
I'm sure you would.
Mr. Sunshine.
Mr. Sunshine.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, boys. I love the sunshine.
Mr. Liquid Sunshine.
Mr. Liquid Sunshine. Well, I mean, how is joy any different than hope? I mean, we were talking about hope last week, but, you know, before we get into this, we have a custom that we love to do. We want to remind you that you can call in and talk with us today. All right? And we'll pull that new number up because it is a new one. And you can you guys got it?
Boy, like something like, I have it somewhere.
503-589-1220. Is that it?
Yeah.
Good memory. Oh, nice. You pulled that out of your memory bank.
Okay, so we better say that again.
We better make sure it's right.
503-589-1220. And it's a new line just for you. And I can even maybe put you on hold if there's more lines that are calling in.
Yeah, we have two extra lines too now, don't we? So we can have three people at the same time.
Yeah, so be patient when you call in. We'll actually call on you. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we'll call you back. We'll just say, hey, you're up, and what's your name?
Yeah, we're going to put you on hold for a little bit.
Yeah, we don't have to hang up anymore, and I like that
hanging
part
up.
Of it.
Yeah. So 503-589-1220. And you can also write into us at?
The number 3.
Wise Guys.
At.
He.
Brew.
Nation.
Dot.
Net.
Yeah.
Net.
Nice. And, you know, those are ways to reach us. And we're going to be talking about joy. How do you help yourself maintain joy? How do you even find joy? Is joy important in your life as a believer in Yeshua, our Messiah? Is that important? How do you deal with it? But our custom here is, as we start this conversation off with you, is that we ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us up and fill you up, and if there's something you need to call and talk to us about, we do. But we're going to put that in the Father's hands.
Yes,
so,
we are.
Rick, lead us
Let's down. Pray. Precious Abba, Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for that hope, Father, and that faith that only comes from knowing your Son. And with that comes, we know, joy. The peace that passes all understanding, Father, we thank you for that joy. That only comes from really knowing you. And Father, we just ask you and we plead with you to help us today. Help us to get out of the way and allow your perfect will to go forth and touch your people. We need you, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in these days, as we know they must get darker. But Father, you being the light of the world, when you came and become one of us, you came one of us, is that hope. And Father, we just thank you again for what you're doing, that you're, Father, you're gathering your people from the furthest corners of the earth and preparing us to go back. Your kingdom come today. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we just thank you, and we dedicate this time to you, Father, that your name would be glorified and exalted and lifted up as our result of being together this morning. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
I love it when you pray, Rick. Thank you.
Oh, Father, Abba, Abba.
So what are you thinking?
If you had a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, what would you call that?
Great pleasure and happiness, what would I call it?
What word would you use?
Starting with a J?
Well, J, unless, of course, that J could be bad because I just
Why?
Found out. Well,
What are you sensing?
It looks like a candy cane, and we were told, you know, back in the couple schools.
Oh, there was no J's for it.
Yeah, we couldn't distribute candy canes over, you know, the holiday seasons here because it
stands for joy.
Stands for Jesus for some reason. Yeah.
Oh, hey, that's his Greek name.
You know, I also think we ought to get rid of umbrella handles.
Yeah, because
no
looks,
more umbrella handles.
Oh, no more. hey, no
like
more.
A J.
Hey,
yeah.
No, I have a little staff that somebody gave me, Gus, and it's like a J upside down, like a candy cane.
Shepherd's hook.
It really works well when I try to grab some of those livestock.
Oh, yeah.
It works. And those little lambs try to get away, and I just reach out with my staff and grab them.
Does it work on grandkids?
Yeah, it probably would. They wouldn't like it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, we need to get rid of that. You know, we also need to get rid of, you know, hey, baby, it's cold outside.
It's cold outside. Side.
I mean, it seems like joy's getting stolen from us, okay? But what's your question again? I got sidetracked.
Well, that's all right. What would you call a feeling of great pleasure and happiness?
Anything outside of present government, I think.
Okay, we're learning what this thing isn't.
Okay.
Might you call it joy? That is a definition that you would look up, and you'd find out that it came from the Old English.
Old English.
And that came from the Old French, which came from the Old Latins and those Old Latins before them.
Oui, oui.
Huh. Yep. So joy, one definition is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, which would beg the question, then, what is happiness?
We can't be happy. That's not serious. I mean,
wouldn't you be joyful? If you're happy, wouldn't you be joyful, Ron, Gus?
I don't know. Is happy and joy different? I mean, happy is
don't they go hand in hand?
Well, why not? I mean, why do we as adults put happiness down?
We don't.
Which adults are you talking about?
In fact, I'm going to go as far as happy day.
Oh, wait.
No, we're not going to put that down.
Yeah, okay. Gus, I mean, you're sitting there
rolling your eyes at me.
No, I'm not rolling your eyes. I think they're good stuff. I'm rolling my eyes at you. No, I'm thinking of if happiness is the goal, then we probably have the wrong goal. Happiness is a good byproduct of the joy
there
that we have through a number of other things, perhaps.
Well, there you go, knocking down something that's real pleasurable. I mean, why do we always want to knock down happiness?
I knocked it down?
Yeah, I mean, like we can't have happiness unless we have real joy.
Hey.
Why not happiness first before joy?
Because, as the interweb says in its infinite wisdom, happiness is, you ready for this? This is pretty profound.
Okay.
Grab your seats, hold on to your microphones and your radios, the state of being happy. What? Come on.
Is that all they could give?
That's
the state of being happy.
Is that
happiness.
All you can come up with?
The state of being happy.
Well, hey.
Pleasure.
You know, I've had happy days and I've had sad days.
Okay.
And I will take that happy day any day of the week. Or month or year.
Well, is happiness different than contentment, which is one of the synonyms then? Because can you be happy in contentment? I'm content. Okay, I get that. Happiness seems a little fluffier.
I know.
Does it replace joy? Is it a joy and contentment? Is it neither? Mm. Inquiring three wise guys want to know.
Yeah, we need your help. 503.
589.
1220.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't sound very joyful, does he?
No, Jay, let your...
Because I think, as a believer, we shouldn't be flippantly happy. We need to be serious about Scripture, and we got to be serious about life. And you know, we shouldn't just be happy. I mean, if you're happy at a church service, you're, you know...
Well, what if you're happy and you know it?
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Happy and you know it.
And your life will certainly show it.
Happy and you know it.
Clap your hands. Boom, boom. Oh, my word.
Hey, excuse the wise guys. We're getting excited.
Did James get excited?
James did.
No,
I love James.
He's an apostle, and he was experiencing trauma, and people were being persecuted. There's no way he could accept happiness at that time.
Yeah. Well, look at what he says, and look at who I. And I want you to, in James 1, you to pay close attention, folks, our Christian brothers and sisters, and the ones, even the Hebrews that don't know yet who they are.
They don't know joy.
Look at who James is talking to. James 1:1.
Okay.
A bondservant of Elohim and Yahweh Yeshua Mashiach to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Hey, that sounds like us.
It does.
You know, and wow. You out there Perga. That know him. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I love that.
Count all joy
lacking
when?
Lacking nothing when you fall into various trials. What does it do? Knowing that the testing of your faith, what does it produce? Patience.
I have to try to be joy even when I'm
so count it a joy when you're going through it. And you don't know what's coming down the pike, Rollin. We're told by James to count it a joy.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, buddy, joy. I love that. Do you wake up with joy in your heart usually, Rollin, Gus, in the mornings?
Yeah, I do.
Do joy? You really?
Yeah, I tend to be on the sunny side of life.
So you're kind of saying, today is going to be an adventure. I just don't know exactly where it's going.
Yeah.
Rollin, what do you sense?
That great spatula of life has flipped me sunny side up.
Oh, well, yeah, it's beautiful.
If I slept well, I mean, it's always a new day. It's a new day.
There's joy comes in the morning.
So there is possibilities of a new day. You know,
possibility?
Yeah.
You got a new day when you wake up.
We do.
In the
you
morning.
Know, you got me excited about James. So let me take you back further, like to David.
Okay.
Okay. Because David experienced, in fact, the Psalms that I'm going to read you, there's only a couple lines here.
Psalms what?
Psalms 9.
Psalms 9.
And it's a praise of thanksgiving for justice. This is when justice was not being provided.
Okay.
Okay, so he was out getting chased around by Saul, promised to have a kingdom. There is no justice, blank, 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 just like today.
Right.
We're lacking justice. And he says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee.
And rejoice in you.
I will be glad.
Yeah.
I will sing praises to thy name, to the Most High. Is gladness like joy? Kind of. I mean, that's happy joy.
Yeah, when you have gladness in your heart, you have joy in your heart.
Yeah, but he did it when there was no justice, and he's saying this.
He was running, wasn't he?
Running from Saul.
He was running. He was unjustly accused of what? I guess it was this. What was the whole thing? Jealousy? Saul was jealousy?
Of David.
You know, David, they were saying Saul, what, killed 1,000, and David?
10,000.
So he coveted the attention that David was getting, and maybe the place of honor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He heard them. He said, that's not right. He's going to take over my kingdom.
But both of these guys, James and David, found mm-hmm. time to give joy, or said they would give joy, yep. even in the midst of things that were going bad. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, when things,
we don't
yeah.
have time for that.
Because, we all have difficult times. But I think if we can try to get our arms around that this is a little, I think, isn't just about every difficult thing we have. Don't you think maybe it's part of the testing process? Okay, I see, the Father tells us, or the accuser comes and tells the Father, hey, okay, I see, yeah, he had joy in his heart when you were blessing him. Let's see how he does when he has boils all over him, or he loses all his family like Job did. Let's see how much joy he has then. What did all his family tell him to do? Cursed Yahweh and die, Job.
Yeah.
See, you must have some kind of sin in your life. That's why you're going through all this stuff. I mean, that would be tough
tough. I mean, but it's joy. I mean,
navigate through.
We still really haven't defined what joy is. We're getting this kind of sense of it. Maybe some synonyms would help.
Yes. Or if we should
I like
be
synonym
joyful.
Roles, especially.
Oh, yes. Synonym. Oh, yes. Man.
That'll
I know we can get some of those.
That'll provide me joy.
But I do that, joy. I'll be buying new clothes again.
Isn't it joy to buy new clothes?
No, it's not.
So let's look at delight as a replacement for joy, maybe.
Okay, delight.
Okay.
Why?
Why?
What are you, 2 years old?
Yeah.
Why do you?
Because your father said so.
Okay, I'm fine. I'll take the light. The light is happiness.
Jubilation.
Ooh.
I like that word.
Triumph. I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Triumph. Exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoicing. Happiness. There we go again. Glee, exhilaration, exuberance, elation, euphoria, bliss, ecstasy, rapture, enjoyment, felicity, and it goes on. So, you like triumph. Is that the one you said you liked, or
it was the Jubilation? First one,
Jubilation.
But what if I don't feel like it? What if I don't want to?
Feelings.
Nothing more than feelings.
Is it all about feelings? Is that what joy and contentment is? Is it a feeling, or is it something deeper?
Ooh. Good question.
Well, what are you asking me to do with this? I mean, are you asking me to be joyful in the midst of sorrow, or are you asking me to be joyful in the midst of a world that doesn't seem to be cool anymore and it's falling apart? I mean, should I be jubilant when I come to my fellowship or church and I want everyone to know how bad my life is? I mean,
are you asking if we use joy to cover up reality of how we feel?
I'm wondering.
Well, that's what the world says. You just need your crutch. You know, you have the Bible. You talk. That's a crutch for you. Uh-huh. Really? It's very apparent that they just don't get it, do they?
Now, see, I like the triumph aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
Triumph means you're conquering something.
Yeah, you're persevering over
something.
Mm-hmm.
I like
even
that's
in the
going.
Heat of battle, even when you're, and I think you guys, that's the testimony. I shared that story with you.
Oh.
A friend of mine I used to work with, her and her kids were up, and some of you heard it, bear with me. They were up hiking, and they were next to this river, and their friend, their child, fell in the river and
drowned.
A few feet down was the waterfall.
Oh, my word.
Was the little guy was swept over the falls and perished. Point being, that person, she accepted Yeshua because she saw the peace through that tragedy that family had. See, knowing that they would see that little
child
again.
Man, I don't know if
again.
I could accept that very well. I mean,
I'm just telling you, but point being, she accepted. She says, hey. Whatever that family has,
I want some of that.
I have to have it.
Because the family saw the bigger picture.
Well,
maybe?
they saw the kingdom. They had kingdom eyes, and they knew that little guy, they would see him again. If you didn't have that blessed assurance, that blessed hope, it would be very difficult. Not that it's not difficult anyway, it is.
Okay, so you just brought up something. They had a blessed hope.
They had,
so eventually they could maybe find joy again. I mean, we aren't going to be joyful.
No, you're going to miss that individual.
Yes.
But just like King David, remember when he after he lost his firstborn, what did he do? He went and shaved. He says, well, I won't go to him, but he won't come to back. I'll go to him someday.
Yeah.
See, he had that. But after he lost the little guy, he prayed and he was somber. But once he took his last breath, then David went, cleaned up, shaved. He says, well.
Now you were talking about King David.
Yes.
In King the Psalms, David. Who wrote almost all the songs of joy.
He wrote a lot of them. Yeah.
And he experienced death in his life.
Yeah, he did. He lost, remember, his firstborn. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get all cleaned up and shave and stuff until.
So he still mourned.
He still mourned, but he just, he says, okay, it's out of my hands now. Father took him home. He won't come back to me, but I'll go to him one day.
So
see, go ahead.
So is our question, what is joy and why should we have it? Is that what we're saying here, or is there some other question? I'm trying to.
Why shouldn't his people have joy that the world doesn't have?
I'm almost wondering, is joy a requirement for those who believe in Yahweh or
like
God?
That.
It's sure part of it.
Is it a requirement? I think we've forgotten how to be joyful.
But you don't realize what I'm going through, guys.
I know.
You don't really. You haven't walked a mile in my shoes. You don't really realize.
I don't know. The question is it a requirement? Is it something we're supposed to do?
I think it's a byproduct for sure. If you're really, what do you think?
It might be a requirement, but we're going to have to dig in and find out.
Yeah, you got to need to help us. 503
589 1220.
Call us. We need to hear your heart. What do you know? Or maybe you've had an experience where it just didn't seem like you were going to be able to navigate through it, but the Father took you through. And how did that happen? maybe somebody needs to hear your story.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if that story needs to be, I mean, is it a requirement?
Don't go away.
I think I like that. Hey.
Nation family. Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and what a beautiful day in the neighborhood it is. And we're talking about this issue of joy. Is it a requirement? Is it a requirement for believers, those who believe in the Messiah, who believe in God, Yahweh, our maker and redeemer? Are we supposed to be joyful? And if so, why do you think that is true? And maybe you think that it's not true. Maybe you need to be
persistent.
Persistent.
Or just like the calls.
Yes.
You need to be persistent because yes. There's these little tiny red lights we have to look at when you call in, and we really appreciate it when you do call in. Sorry if we missed you.
What is that number again?
503-589-1220.
And let me add this. Are we commanded to rejoice?
Ooh, good question.
Are we commanded to rejoice? Is there a scripture that tells us? Are we commanded? I sense there probably is.
Maybe more than one. Who knows?
I sense it's multiple times. Yeah. I know there's got to be a witness.
Got to get a witness.
More than one.
Got to get a witness. You know, I was talking about this thing of joy and the importance of it as a coach, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you guys ever been around a girls' volleyball team?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
They're pretty energized when things are going well.
But coaches are coached. They're learned to actually tell these girls to keep on doing high fives even when they hit a bad shot or they lose a point. The reason for doing that is if they lose a point, hope can get knocked down a few pegs. And teams can actually lose if they start losing points and they lose hope.
Yeah.
So it's a mental thing. So you teach kids and you teach team members to, hey, always give joy, always put out a high five and do that. Why?
Even if you blunder a shot, doesn't matter. Yes.
Yeah.
Got a call coming in.
Let's see if we can pick these guys up. All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. Who are we talking to and what's your question or comment for us? Let's see if I did that right. Hey, good morning. This is the Wise Guy Show. Who are we talking to? What's your question or comment for us? Oh, we kind of lost that one. Let's see if we picked them up again. Let's try this again.
Technology, you know, when it works good, it works so good.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys. What's your question or comment for us? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yes, I will still give joy. Well, I've got the joy. Let's try this one. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. What's your question or comment for us? Now let's try this one. Good morning. You're on with the wise guys. What's your question or comment for us?
You could make that a recording.
I think I could. Okay, let's try this one. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. What's your question or comment for us? Oh, pooey. Well.
So while you're going there and kind of working through that, Donna emailed in and said, you know, in my mind, joy is deep, having been produced through trials, faith, and hope. What do you think about that, Rick?
Now, read that one more time.
In my mind, joy is deep, having been produced through trials, faith, and hope.
Yes. Yeah. And even in trials, mm-hmm. You know, and if you have that faith and you have that hope, you will navigate through those trials. Every one, he never gives us more than what we can take. Isn't that kind of a promise that he'll never allow us? He won't give us more than what we can endure.
Yeah, and then we have this kind of impression that, oh, I just can't get through this. This is just so bad. So we are self-defeating in that purpose.
Well, which, in your own strength, no, you can't.
Right. Right.
I think that's the key.
So while mastery of others may be defined as strength, mastery of self is perhaps more true power.
Hey, so
power over one's own.
Let's see if this person comes on. Good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. What's your question or comment for us? Bummer, Bob. Okay, keep on talking, guys.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can get this worked out. Keep on trying me again, and we'll see if we make this happen.
So does happiness come easier than joy? Is it a lighter level?
Oh.
If joy is through those trials that we have, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then count it a joy when you experience various trials for the testing, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
And patience
produces
character.
Yes.
Let's see if we can pick up this person. Good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're with the wise guys. No. Okay, I'm going to try that again. Keep on trying me. Don't give up. Don't give up on me, baby. Where does that song come from?
I don't know.
Oh, we're going
depths
back
of your mind. So does happiness then, we're kind of kicking around this joy, happiness, whatnot. So once again, going back to Donna's email, is it produced, happiness produced by external events that happen to us? Oh, I'm happy about this. Oh, I'm happy that I got a new car, a new good breakfast, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just woke up happier, or were you joyful when you woke up?
Well, what's the difference? Why not rejoice in a new car? I mean, why do we have to think that that's maybe a bad thing? Or is that...
Well, I don't think it's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. Okay. Why do you always go to the negative? You're just so negative.
I know.
Negative Nelly over here this morning.
Negative Nelly.
Well, I think as a group... Oh, the wise guy, the
Speaking
real
of the wise guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Technology. Yeah.
So
himself.
You can,
hey,
so
Phil,
you can
we're
try
glad to have you
again. Yes, sir. Uh-oh.
It's the button.
It's the button. Okay, so try calling in again at
503-589-1220.
And you'll be able to reach us again, and we'll see if we'll make it
work. Try it again. Give us another chance.
I dare you.
Double dog dare you.
I double dog dare you. You can make it.
So here's a text.
Okay.
Joy is experienced from the outside and a choice. For example, when you go to a party and then someone recognizes you and comes over to see you and say how happy they are to see you. In this experience, you experience joy.
Yeah.
Say that
again. This is from your wife. Joy is experienced from the outside and a choice.
From the inside or the outside?
This one says outside. For example, when you go to a party and then someone recognizes you and comes over to see you and say how happy they are to see you, in this, you experience joy.
Yeah, because it feels good to...
Hey, they remembered me.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. So is that a requirement of a believer in God, in Yahweh, in our Messiah? I mean, is that a requirement? Or, I mean, if another...
Which part of it?
Well, if a person comes up to you at a party... Okay, and you don't give joy back, and they know that you're a believer, and you're just the ER dude. Okay, yeah, I feel really bad today. Okay, so how do you give witness then? Are you sharing something that's joyful to them? We had just read things from King David, right? I will be joyful.
Rejoice.
I will give rejoice. James had said.
Yes, count it a joy.
Count it all joy.
When you experience various trials, because it's the testing of your faith.
That sounds like requirements
patience.
To me.
Yes.
And I think there's going to be more, but you can call in again at
503-589-1220.
You got it.
We got all the buttons in the right conflagration.
Yeah,
so
now
we're
now
ready.
Give us another chance. Call in.
Give us a chance, please.
Yeah, I know. Maybe they don't want to.
Yeah.
But I'm still counting it joy that they don't want to talk to me.
Oh.
No, they
really?
Do. They're going to call back.
It's not that they don't want to talk to you. It's that you didn't want to talk to them.
Okay.
And that was probably a pleasure to them.
Yeah,
so, probably. Okay, so pleasure, happiness, joy.
But,
what are you gonna
guys,
read?
In verse 4 of James
around.
1.
Okay.
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Then it goes in. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. It will. Not maybe.
So
patience, when do you ask for wisdom? When you pray?
Always.
I do,
I
too.
I need it.
Do you?
Not
always.
Many days I don't ask
always.
For it.
That's smart. Well, I kind
because
of forgot.
Because I need everything I can get.
I forgot today. Maybe that was my problem.
Well,
that was
helps.
An unwise decision. You got to pray to remember to pray for wisdom.
Okay,
yes.
So we got another thing coming in. Hey, so we're going to try picking you up. Good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. Who are we talking to?
Well, good morning. This is Eunice.
Eunice!
Oh, morning, Eunice.
Through.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. This is a good day in Yahweh.
Amen.
We
concur completely.
Are we still?
We're still.
Are we still on the topic?
Of joy.
What?
Of joy. Is joy a requirement of a believer in our Maker? What do you think?
Well, I believe it is. There are 27 scriptures about the joy of the Lord. The thing I wanted to say earlier was when you were talking about the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. Joy is not.
Mm-hmm. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. Joy is not.
So joy internal, happiness external.
That would be a good summary, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is I think that joy is connected to the peace that he gives.
But what happens, Eunice, when your joy is attacked? I mean, what happens when your spirit is actually broken and you just can't find joy? Is it okay to not be joyful for a while?
Is it okay? Yeah. I think it's like with everything in life, we go through phases and we learn from everything. And sometimes when our happiness is attacked from different avenues, we can get down for a little bit.
So maybe Eunice, it's we don't have the joy because we have asked not for the joy?
Well, I think that could be part of it. Yeah, well, more than likely we ask for everything, but I do usually wake up joyful. Sometimes I'm quiet. Most of the time I'm not. But sometimes you can be quietly joyful, and you still have his joy. If you have his joy, you're going to come around.
You know,
I had one time. Okay, this might be an example. I had one time in my life that I was really being a crab, and I was not happy, I was not joyful. And my husband said, "You better do something about that." And he said, "Do you want to pray?" And I said, "No, I don't."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Uh-oh, you do need to do something about this." So I spent about another half hour in that state, but his words kept ringing in my head, and I'm going, okay, Father, I really don't like this, and I don't want to be in this position. And I talked with him, and it didn't seem to help, but a song came into my head. It was "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." And I had to force myself. I'm telling you, I had to literally force myself to sing it. But once I started singing it, I felt that cloud dissipate.
You know, Eunice, is that why? I mean, David wrote a lot of songs, right? I mean, what do we have, 150 of them?
150 Psalms.
150 Psalms. And that even in his writings, even when he says things like, "And I went down to the depths of despair, I'm in the muddy waters, I'm in the miry depths," he would always finish the song with, "But I still praise your name, I still rejoice." You know, we even have examples of Jacob. In the latest studies, is Jacob went down into the depths of Sheol when he found out that Joseph was dead or possibly dead. And no one could rescue him. I mean, Jacob just said, this is where I'm at. And the sons were all careful around him because he didn't want to be joyful. Yes. Joseph had died, and he was relishing in liking where he was. So, you know, but then he found joy later. And
well, do you think you get everybody, Eunice, do you think maybe that's why the father tells us he knows we're going to have times of despair?
Mm-hmm.
He says, when one of yours weep, weep with that person. When they rejoice, to rejoice with them.
Hmm.
See, he knew that we would, there would be time that we would be in despair, that we would be going through very difficult circumstances.
But that's why he wrote music.
That's
evidently.
Why that music, you mean,
music will come down and touch
it
our
helps.
Soul.
It's, yeah, it helps for sure.
Oh, well, Eunice, thank you for calling in. You have anything else you want to add to this?
I was just looking through these 27 scriptures.
Uh-huh.
And just type in the joy of the Lord, and Google will give you all of that.
Oh, we're going to read some of those shortly. Oh, it's love it.
Okay. Psalms 27:6 is, this is good. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So it sounds like something we do as one of the sacrifices that we do now.
Yeah, joy is considered, you're to bring your joy forward as a sacrifice, and we're required to do that. Boy, again, joy is a requirement. Thank you, Eunice, for calling in.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Right, have a shalom. Blessed day.
All right, shalom.
Bye.
Two.
The joy of the Yahweh is our strength. Wow.
You know,
we can gain strength.
I'm going back to the aspect that we have not because we ask not.
Yes.
And there's John 16:24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
You're kidding. Keith, that substantiates what Eunice just called in about.
Yes.
Say it again.
Okay, so John 16:24, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
So
ask anything.
So I could ask for joy if I'm in the depths of the pit like Eunice was. Eunice just went ahead and said, I don't feel like doing this. And then a song comes to her mind. She sings that song and she starts to feeling more at peace or more joyful.
Mm-hmm. So, and maybe you don't even pray for just the joy. Maybe you're praying for the circumstances, and that joy comes because you're lifting it up to Father.
Amen.
So prayer is important in us trying to come forward to joy.
Ooh, wow.
So if we've lost joy, if we've lost hope, then we need to be praying.
No doubt.
Is what you're saying.
Sometimes even if you're in just total despair, crying out to him, say, Father, help me. And I think when we cry out to him, there's something that happens, and he comes, and and you know, and I think there was times we all know the psalmist was crying out, you know, when he was running from Saul, and you know, I think multiple times that he was just in despair. Father, come here. Where are you? He says, where are you?
So all forms of communication or conversation with Yahweh, with the Creator, are prayer. It's that conversation, the relationship, right?
And it might take another person to move you. Notice in Eunice's example, it took another person to move her.
Mm-hmm. We need to pray.
Yes, that's
what her husband says. I don't want to pray.
I don't want to. You know?
Do you ever have times you don't feel like praying?
Or you feel like, I don't want to be joyful. I want to kind of exist in this blah that
it's
I feel like.
Miry clay.
Oh, my word.
Let me stay in the...
You know, as you guys know, I teach CPR classes.
No way.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I do.
And it's funny is that one of the scenarios that we actually talk about is, what if you run across a person who wants to commit suicide?
Mm.
Okay? And what are you supposed to do? And that person's saying to you, go away. I don't want you. I want to commit suicide, which is kind of like the person who's saying, I don't want joy.
Right.
Okay. And so do you run away or do you stay put? And according to the Good Samaritan law, if you know that person's life is in danger, I'm asked to stay put. Once yes. once you get involved, you stay involved. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look at that person. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I'm staying. You can't get rid of me. Go away. Get out of here. No. I love you too much. I'm just staying put. Ain't leaving.
Yeah.
Okay. And can we do that the same way if we meet a person in our fellowship or at our church and they go, I don't want to be joyful. I don't want to be here.
Just let me be miserable.
Let me be miserable. Alone. What do? Well,
we stay. We stay the course.
Do we?
Well, you know, I think a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word?
Mm.
Proverbs 15:23.
Oh, you are on a roll today with the
you
Bible.
Are.
Say it again.
So Proverbs 15:23. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? It reminds me of what you were just talking about.
It reminds me. It's the example. It's a biblical example of what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, and you know, we really are supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn.
That's right.
Romans 12:15.
So that's a requirement, too, is what you're telling me. Mm-hmm. So not only is it a requirement for me to find joy, it's a requirement for me to direct someone towards joy.
It's an imperative. He says, do this.
Wow. Any more calls? Come on.
I dare you. Come on. Call back.
503.
589-1220.
Is a requirement to be joyful. Is a requirement to share joy with another. Maybe you have a testimony of how that was done, mm-hmm. and you're able to bring someone out of the pit of despair.
Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice.
And is it bad? I mean, many times I've met Christian believers who believe that, and Hebrew, that believe that it's terrible to receive acclamations or a thankfulness to say, hey, what you did today was great.
Mm. And, oh, no, it really was nothing. I really, oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, why are we so bashful to receive a compliment?
Well, I think that people just want to give Yahweh the glory, you know.
If I'm made by Yahweh, why can't I celebrate?
No, we can't.
Something that I thought I did well. I mean, what's wrong with that?
I think it's a humility that we kind of get ourselves trapped into where we think, well, I want to defer that, so I really can't accept the thanks. Well, I think we should accept the thanks and then point it straight to Him. Because Yah made us this way.
Right.
He gave us a gift, just like you're saying, Roland. So we say, hey, thanks, praise Yahweh.
I know.
Shoot it back up to Him.
Praise Yahweh.
But why not even take it for a little while longer? I mean,
receive it. Just cherish it a little
bit. Come on. I mean, thank you. Okay, you made my day. Now I can be joyful. And guess what? I want to thank the Lord for the day. Yeah.
I like the way you said that, too. You made my day.
Yes. Yeah. Why
That's
not?
That's a joyful statement.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why are we so against that? Does that come from our puritanical roots that we have to dress drably and we got to make sure that our have joy?
You mean you can't dress flamboyantly?
No, I mean, yeah. Hey, we have another call that's coming in. Let's go and see if we can pick him up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You were on with the wise guys. What's your question or comment for us?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for the topic that you brought up this morning. Do you really think that we can give joy to someone?
I think so.
I think we can bring joy, don't you think?
I think
Donna?
We can bring joy, but I'm not sure that you can give it to somebody, because where does it come from?
Him.
That's right. It's a fruit of His Spirit. It's part of His character. And as we have a relationship with Him, He fills us with His fruit.
So you're saying that we can maybe give the Messiah to someone or introduce the Messiah to them in hopes that their spirit becomes joyful because they meet Him?
I believe so.
Okay. So I can't necessarily give someone joy. Can I comfort them?
Yes. And you can stay with them, and you can comfort, you can maybe bring a little happiness. I mean, but that's hard to bring when there isn't any joy there, but nonetheless, it can be done.
But
that's more an environmental thing. But nonetheless, I think joy is so deep that no matter what happens around you, it will always be there. That's why David said he went to the depths of Sheol or whatever.
Hey, hang on tight. Joy.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. And just in case you were listening to that intro, I want you to forget one thing on that. Okay, do not listen to the old phone-in number for this particular, for the wise guy morning show. The Wise Guy Morning Show has a completely different number. It is
503-589-1220.
And don't give up on us, baby. Mm-hmm. So if you do that.
Cotter?
No, that's not Cotter.
That's a song.
Oh. Yeah, it came out by a guy that was an actor, you know, but he decided he wanted to be a singer and came up with a song. And I'll let you figure that one out. But anyways, you can call in. And to be part of the conversation, we just had online Donna from Silverton, and she was talking about this whole thing, is that it's almost impossible for a human being to bring someone joy. We have to let the Creator, Yahweh God, Yeshua, our Messiah, bring joy into someone's life. So my question is, how does that happen? I mean, if joy is a requirement, how does it happen? Gus had brought in this other thing from the Proverbs, right? Or did you lose it?
Oh, no. I sometimes I lose it, but the Lord brings it back.
Amen.
A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Proverbs 15:23.
So that didn't necessarily tell us what the timely word was.
No.
So a timely word doesn't mean, oh, I want you to be joyful and it's going to be okay. Let me just tell you that it's going to be all right.
So what you're saying, though, I'm intuiting here is that if you comfort someone, they can find their joy, that it can't be given. I think Donna was saying that. We can't give somebody joy, but we can help them find it.
When you can bring it.
Okay.
You can bring joy. Like if somebody is grieving and you share the hope that you have and when they're...
Does somebody want to hear that when they're grieving?
If the Holy Spirit is moving, yes. Only if the Spirit of Yahweh is leading in that direction. Sometimes it takes a tragic situation to even want to come to Him. Not always.
I've seen people like even now. Okay. Oh, I love this. Okay, we've had all these shootings, right, in the U.S.?
Lots of shootings, yes.
And what's the common answer by some of those parents who've had their sons or daughters killed? What do they say to the churches or to Trump or anyone else? What do they say? I do not want your prayers.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, I don't want them.
See, maybe I don't hear enough media.
I want you guys to solve this. Don't comfort me. Don't belittle me.
So those guns are killing. Yeah, that gun killed my kid.
Yeah, I want to relish in my anguish. Okay? And do not tell me that prayers are going to be helping me. I'm wondering if that apt word that Gus is talking about, once in a while we should maybe just zip our mouths and,
well, sometimes,
and be
yeah.
a Christian and just love on a person.
Well, and it is.
That's true.
As Angie texts in, is joy a choice? I think it is. Because just like you described, I don't have to accept, I'm not going to be happy right now. I don't want to feel loving or compassionate. I mean, you can think of all the adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
but it's my choice.
It is a choice, and I'm not sure. I would like us to get to the next section here a little bit. I'm not sure if I can really have joy if I don't have faith and hope in a creator, or if I don't have love towards my human being. Notice that in Paul tells us, you must have hope and faith. That's in 1 Corinthians 13, and love. Hope,
and the greatest
faith, and,
of these is love.
Is love. I think it's impossible to even have love without hope and faith.
I know, and that's with a faith in the giver of life, the creator of all of the universe. See, and yeah, he is the common denominator. He is the one. Outside of him, there really is no joy and true peace. What do you think?
Oh, well, I'm thinking.
You agree with that?
Well, I'm thinking back to the happiness pleasure stuff we were talking about earlier, and how maybe. Maybe besides being external, okay, I can feel happy or I can choose to be happy about something, but that's a fleeting thing. It's not a permanency. It's not the contentment sounds more deep, long, deeply rooted in our faith, love, hope.
True contentment is, you just said it, rooted, has to be rooted in the giver, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And don't you believe outside of the Messiah, can you really have true peace?
I'm hearing a lot of commands, you guys. Let Israel be glad in his maker. That's Psalms 14. That's 149:2. Let the children of Zion rejoice. Let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. That's Psalms 14:7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Psalms 97:12. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 102. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy. Psalms 32. Be glad and sing for joy. Psalms 67:4. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Psalms 96:11. Leap for joy. Luke 6:23. Rejoice and be glad, Matthew 5:12.
Boy, so many times it says.
Yeah, finally, brothers, rejoice. Rejoice always, 2 Corinthians 13:11 and 1 Thessalonians 5.
So it is a commandment to rejoice.
That's what I'm coming to. At
Again,
least for those,
I say rejoice.
At least for those that are in faith and hope.
In him. And that's in him.
Yeah, we aren't talking about feelings.
He is the common denominator. He is the one that brings that faith and hope. And with that comes what? The first one, love. Love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness.
Understanding. No.
Self-control.
Self, yeah, thanks.
That's the last one. Self-control.
That should be the first one.
I know, right?
Right, right.
So what are you coming? What are you saying?
I'm just going through the fruits of the Spirit. I didn't know if I missed one, but I think I got them.
I love you, man.
I get a little confused.
And how does a father feel about those fruits of the Spirit when they activate them, do them, whatever you want to say?
Oh, I think it brings joy to him.
It brings joy to him. So joy that we have makes him joyful.
Yeah, I believe that.
Or it raises our spirits. Okay, let's talk about why we brought up this topic today. Okay, why bring up something like this? Because it seems like a no-brainer. I mean, but what's the purpose of why we brought up this topic of joy? You guys got any clue? I mean, why did we brought it up?
Well, because of what we see around us.
Yeah.
The angst.
The anger that's in society right now.
Well, there's a lot of anxious people out there, aren't there? We know. That's what I love about his word. We can study, and as we see these prophecies unfold, what does that do?
Hmm.
Look, did you see this? You hear what happened today? You know, and boy, that it brings anticipation that, hey, he is coming again. And if you don't have that blessed assurance, you're going to, as it gets darker, you're going to be you're going to be anxious. You're going to be unsettled in your spirit. I believe that.
I like that. Unsettled in your spirit, because I think that's why I wanted to go with this. Let's even talk about personal stuff. Okay.
Okay.
Why do I want to talk about joy? Well, number one, I got really ticked off the other day seeing that people are trying to impeach our president over absolutely nothing, and they're using the law in. That are that's not constitutional, and they aren't using the law in the proper formats.
Of course.
That discouraged me, and it knocked the joy right out of me, saying, how can people be this angry towards a sitting president when they don't have anything that's worthwhile, okay? I understood Nixon. I understood that. He actually went in and broke into a facility. The same thing that we understand that the FBI did against our sitting president. They broke into his lines. They did
those things.
But
that was okay, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, but the thing is, I don't want to go down that road because it makes me angry again when I think about it. But the thing is, it sapped my joy. It took joy out. And so now if I dwell on that.
There you go. You hit it right there.
If I dwell on that,
the problem.
Then I become like the rest of the world and I start talking about ugly things and I don't express joy. Okay. So I wanted to find joy. So Gus had wrote last night, hey guys, why don't we talk about joy? And I go, well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
And then my studies this morning, I turned to James 1 and boy, it's just jam packed.
Yeah, so I go, let's explore it. Let's see if we learn something today. So what's your story? Why did you guys want to talk about joy?
Well, kind of like yours, I read where a teacher didn't want to use the changed gender greeting to a student changed gender and wanted the pronoun to be different than what that person was. And
like
the teacher,
boy or girl or something?
Yeah, exactly, in
what
school.
What is up with that?
And the teacher said, you know, I can't call you that because that's, I mean, it's just not right. They fired him.
Yeah.
I didn't lose joy so much as my momentary happiness. That contentment joy is still there, but I was disturbed by that. I was angsty. I wasn't in a rejoicing manner. So I wasn't externally showing my joy.
Mm.
And it bothered
me. It disturbed you.
It disturbed me.
It did.
It didn't shake my underlying faith, love, hope. Maybe it touched on my joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think over time, if you know, there's a word that was saying, if Satan slashes on you long enough with enough, you know, it's found in Ephesians. He has fiery darts, right?
Yes.
And he's constantly throwing those at us. And if enough of those hit us, then your hope and your joy is going to be decimated. Okay? So as we're growing, as this world goes on, how many darts can we handle and not have our joy affected? And what do we do about it? I guess that's the question I want to get
to. When you talk
how
about
– how can we maintain joy?
Yeah. That's that thing, you know, about arming up. Gentlemen, that's why he tells us to arm up the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word,
mm-hmm.
the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and you shod your feet with the gospel. See, as you do that, yeah, he's going to fire his darts.
They're all over.
And they're everywhere, but your faith won't be decimated. You'll stand because only in him, though. See, he is the common denominator of arming up each and every day, because we know Satan is going to fire those darts. He is.
You know what?
Sometimes it's worse than others. Go ahead.
You know what that reminds me of? You remember the king that was in his chariot and one arrow?
Oh, that was Josiah that grabbed him?
Ahab,
he died in his chariot?
Yeah.
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 And that random arrow.
That one spot. And what that brings to mind picture-wise is we have to choose. Angie has been texting about choice and, you know, this action aspect. We have to choose to arm up, like you're saying, and keep covering up those cracks that we have. Not his.
No,
you
know, his
we got
is
the
perfect.
Crack. Yeah, we got the cracks.
Yeah. Right?
And so rather than get all cracked up, what we need to be doing – because that's not what it's all cracked up to be anyway. We have to keep applying the layers of everything that you just spoke.
Yes, all this, all the armor, all the different parts of our armor that is our lifeline. See, and if we don't arm up every day, we are going to be vulnerable. Not that we're not going to be attacked. We're going to be attacked daily.
Right.
But if we have our armor on, see, He's not gonna take
there,
us out.
But there are weak points in everybody's armor.
You bet sure. there is. And, okay. and guess what? Satan knows what they
oh,
are.
Oh, he knows what it is.
He knows what it
and,
is.
And it takes one arrow, like what Gus was saying.
Yeah, that random arrow and, that and comes it can pierce, right between.
Pierce our heart and pierce our joy.
But only if Father allows it. Only.
Oh, man. This, I mean, I would really like to get to some solutions. I think,
this is good.
I think we all know that we need joy, and I think we know that it's a requirement. I think we need to know we need to do it. What gets us to the place of actually
having it
and actually doing it?
Well, you know, David also texted in. A lot of texts and emails. We really appreciate them, folks.
Yes.
He mentioned something we haven't even talked about yet as a consideration as part of this. Any idea what that word would be?
A word?
It's a word.
It's a single word.
Yep, I'll give you a hint. Starts with sh, ends with alom.
A shalom.
Oh, how'd you figure that out so easy?
That piece that passed.
That little clue.
Sorry, I was in a Pictionary mode, and I should have come out.
That was amazing.
Standing. Peace that passes all understanding.
Exactly.
That's
shalom.
It. Shalom. See?
So contentment, shalom, that's at a different level, again, than joy. Joy almost seems like I've got to share this with you. Right? Joy isn't that I've got it in my heart, but I gotta express it. It's gotta come bubbling out.
But wouldn't they ask you when you have that joy overflowing, don't you think maybe the world would say, you know, whatever you have, brother or sister, I need some of that.
Yeah.
Okay. See,
so you're content that. In the down times, yeah. You're able to live through that stuff. How do you get through that? And
that's
the demeanor
the
is different than what I've seen.
Okay, so let me give you a problem.
Oh, what's a problem?
Okay, so here's my problem, and this is why I appreciated the joy topic. Some of us like to do a lot of research.
Research is good.
The more research I do, the more I become disappointed in the underlying or present day governments. Okay, because the governments, there's always this undercurrent to destroy the regular person. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So the more I find out about it, the more I find out that their purpose is to destroy us and to control us. I mean, just the other day, I was going down through all the requirements, even here in Marion County, Oregon. Okay. And I was looking at through all the licenses and all the taxes that people have to pay just on a piece of property. And
oh,
I found out really quick that you really don't own your own piece of property.
You really don't.
I mean, you really don't. And because of the governmental control, they tell you how to breathe, what to breathe, how to pay, all those fees and things. And so the more I found out, the more discouraged I became. The more I found out about the government and their efforts to not have an outsider be our president, but to have an insider be our president, the more I become discouraged. Mm-hmm. The more I find out about Brexit and how they want to control those people and their voting, I became discouraged, okay? I don't want to research, but I do research, and it gets me down. So,
quit researching.
So,
hey.
But what do you do with that?
Tell me this. Who wants you to be discouraged?
Well, I know
does
who
Yahweh?
Wants
does
know.
Yahweh?
No, but what's wrong with research? Because you want knowledge to know what's going on. But at the same time, how do you balance the knowledge with the joy?
But the function, the problem is, Roland, is you are functioning on all the byproducts of a fallen world. See, this world is fallen. And if you focus on those things, if you dwell, like you said earlier, on all this negative stuff that's going, all the byproducts of a fallen world, you are going to start to be discouraged instead of, because why? When you're focusing on that stuff, you got your eyes off the light of the world.
Amen.
And see, he is the common denominator to bring us love, peace, and joy.
Okay, so what do I do with all this stuff?
Because you're focusing on all that stuff.
But can I be joyful about the stuff?
Well, you just don't want to focus on too much of it. See,
maybe,
I think that's the problem.
Or maybe I should
too
look
much
at
negativity.
It. Maybe I should look at it another way. That if all these things are really, really bad, that means something really, really good is going to come around the corner.
I believe
it may not be in your lifetime.
See, you've been hurting. You've been in the hurry up and wait mode.
Yeah,
and you know, and you're just trying to be. You're trying to be patient. You're trying to have shalom. And, you know, and but Father has a plan.
Our joy can't come from our circumstances.
No.
Ida texted this in. Worldly joy or happiness comes and goes as often as the waves hitting the shore.
Oh, Wait a minute. Whoa. Say that again. I love that. What does it say?
Worldly joy or happiness comes and goes as often as waves hitting the shore.
No. Worldly. That's the key. Worldly. Worldly happiness, not Yahweh given that peace that passes all understanding.
Okay, so let me throw another kink in there.
We need to hear kinks. So we can work them out.
Yes, I am.
So we can work out those
kinks. But the atheist would say that your joy in God is a false joy. It's a made up joy, and it has just as many waves as the worldly joy.
I tell you what, in about, 120, 150, maybe 200 years, let's talk about it then.
At the pearly gate?
Or a million years. I don't know what it is, but
hey,
yeah.
I heard one of our newscasters, you all know him, I won't mention his name, but last night there was somebody in there sharing with him. He says, you know, talking to him about peace and how can you, you know, the God of the Bible and all this and that. And he says, hey, I don't look at the word like you do. I don't have that worldview like you have. And you are forcing your worldview on me. And but I think we have to be so careful on our delivery, don't we? We have to be really, I mean, that in respect, and that's when we need that discernment, when the right time is to come, when it's got to be his time. Because if it's our time, what's going to happen? They're going to reject it and bristle all up and get very offended, because his word, we know, does divide, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Gus, I'm
thinking
table
about what you're
turning
saying
there.
Yeah.
So
joy. Okay. So, evangelizing joy is people observing me.
Yes.
I don't have to say a word.
And when in need, use words. See, just let your light shine, not a foghorn.
And I don't even have to.
But a lighthouse.
I don't have to bring up the Bible to
you. You don't have to bring up anything. Let them look at your life.
Have you ever had anybody that you start talking with and they say, are you a believer? Have you ever had that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why? What are they seeing?
Something.
Something.
Yeah.
It must be your angst.
You'll ask them, are you a person of faith? How'd you know?
Uh-huh.
There's
a text for what you guys are talking about.
What is it?
It's found in 2 Corinthians.
Okay.
And Paul is talking about reconciliation in all experiences. It's 2 Corinthians 6. Reconciliation in all experiences. But in everything, let's go in verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything in order that the ministry be not discredited. So I can't give offense to discredit the ministry. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions and in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness. If you go down there, all the way down to verse 9, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing.
Always rejoicing.
Always so what you guys are talking about is that the example of someone who believes in God, who believes in Yahweh.
Right.
Because that's what he's saying. If we don't want to give offense all the way back to verse 3, otherwise we discredit the Messiah. So even in your trials, your endurances, your beatings, your imprisonments.
Beatings.
All the way down to the sorrowful yet rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. Is having nothing yet possessing all things. What you're talking about is that this comes back to the requirement. If I'm a true believer, if I truly believe that I'm going to look for his kingdomness, like what you were saying, Rick, is I was looking in the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, you were looking at all the byproducts of sin instead of keeping our eyes
on the kingdom.
Yes, that's the key.
So I don't discredit him or the kingdom.
Because, yeah, if you focus on more on all that stuff instead of him, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you're going to be discouraged. And I really believe one of our adversary's biggest tools is to get us discouraged.
Absolutely.
To get us hopeless.
Absolutely. I mean, thinking about it, if I can destroy your spirit, if I can take away your hope and joy, what good are you?
Then I might as well be, I'm on the shelf because I'm rendered ineffective.
Yeah, see? You're on the shelf.
And that's what the enemy wants, that he wants us to be ineffective.
Well, in the next half an hour, we're going to have to put faith to feet.
Yes, faith to feet.
We're going to put our feet on the ground. We're going to have to sit in our chairs and roll faster. Whatever that thing is, we're going to have to start talking about, okay, what are we going to do about it? Because you brought that up earlier, Roland.
What are we going to do? And you can be part of the conversation by calling in at
503-589-1220.
Yes.
Rejoice because you're here, and we're rejoicing that we're here with you on the Three Wise Guys this morning, Hebrew Nation Radio.
You got it. And, you know, people need to look this radio thing up. You know?
Yeah. What do you mean? Look it up.
Well, there's some good stuff on there. Hebrew Nation Radio online, you can actually do that. And you can see other morning shows, and you can see the Wise Guys there, too.
Or you can
and
call in.
You can at
503-589-1220.
Or you can call in here as live at 605-562-9746. And you can hear whatever program is on Hebrew Nation Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes you can, you know, if you have Bluetooth in your car, put it in there. Listen over your Bluetooth. Comes over the speaker just like it did in radio. Remember in the old days?
Oh, read it again, would you? 12:20,
huh?
Read that number again, would you?
Yes, I'm going to read it. 605-562-9746.
Now, you can also get a hold of us via email. And if you have our personal numbers, text. Maybe someday we'll get a Three Wise Guys number.
Yeah,
we'll give
that'd
that
be
out.
Great.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, we could give it out. And,
yeah. But it's another level of technology. Hold on, let me crank up my phone here. I got a little crank on the side here. And you can get a hold of us at the number 3.
Wise Guys.
At HebrewNation.net.
Yes, all sorts of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
and,
you know.
And check out the 3 Wise Guys on Empty Nesters and Beyond at TorahFamily.org.
That's right. We're doing some series on that about what do you do when you're all by yourself, when you're all alone.
And that's our next program.
And the kids are out of the house. That's what an empty nester is, right?
Exactly. I mean, so we're covering that angle of that part of life.
Well, and that's a real stumbling block for a lot of couples that have had their lives really, truly, the kids were kind of the center.
Mm-hmm.
And when those children are gone, they're grown and gone, it makes too many couples stumble.
Oh,
I got to say, it shook my world a little bit. I don't know how it affected you guys. My daughter would always be, I didn't hear the piano playing anymore.
Oh, you mean joy got a little bit empty?
And I meant, yeah, I got this, you know, it's a little quiet around
that
here.
That sounds like another segment to Empty Nesters and Beyond. Joy in your empty nestedness.
You have to find joy in your spouse again.
Well, yeah.
I mean, think about it. You have to find joy in your spouse again because you found your joy in your kid.
Either you and your spouse grow together or you grow the other way. I mean, I've always said that. And now after 40 plus years of being with one lady, I got to say, we've grown together and, you know, we're best friends.
Wouldn't you say that also is because you're both growing in Yah?
Amen. He's the common denominator. Yes,
yeah.
he is our foundation. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. We got our issues. Everybody does.
Uh-huh.
But we're growing closer.
What do you do?
You could ask her. I think she'd concur with that statement.
Rick, you're coming on to this idea to help people maybe that aren't feeling joyful again. And let's just touch on that before we come into some remedies.
Sure.
Sometimes you hear possibilities. Some hear possibilities in the commands of joy. This is coming from an article on Desiring God, and I found it truly helpful. It was written by David Mathis. And it says this: some hear possibilities in the commands of joy. Others hear problems. Both responses are justified. Why? We are sinners, spiritually dead by nature.
Yes, we are.
And that's from Ephesians.
Outside of him, yes.
Often we are emotionally inconsistent and spiritually dull. Even when we're in the Messiah, we daily ride the undulting roller coaster ride from lethargic hearts to quickened spirits and then back to dryness again.
Back to dryness?
Yeah.
I don't like that part.
Yeah. Those of us who know ourselves are learning to be honest and own up to how truly joyful we are lacking. So he says this on a solution. So ask the Father again and again. David did this in Psalms 51:12. He said this: restore to me the joy of your salvation. So recognize and be honest. Don't be a frivolous Christian or believer thinking, hey, this is just going to happen. Hang on tight. I have another call that, whoa, I just lost them. Go ahead and try again, please. I was reading a text and I lost you.
You got to be like one of those chameleons where you can turn one eye to the book and one down to the thing there.
I need an eye that's swiveling and one eye that's the other way. Please call back in if that was you, and I will pick you back up again.
What if it wasn't that person?
If it wasn't you,
they still call back in?
Yeah, they can still call me. Okay, let's see if we can pick him up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Who are we talking to, and what's your question or comment for us?
Well, this is Kenny from Meridian, Idaho.
Hey, Kenny.
How are you, sir?
Boker Tov, Kenny.
Boker Tov. I know, I got to keep it in the showers until I learn.
Yep. Hey, so how do you find joy? I mean, we've been talking about, is it a command? And I think we're coming up with the response that yes, it is. Okay, but what do you do when you don't want to?
Well, we always got to press in and find in Yahweh to find our joy. You know, we always got to do that. And remember that we have the kingdom of heaven that we can go to, that we want to lead people to. And Yahweh doesn't want us to be sad or depressed or like what you were saying earlier about everything that you go and read and how depressing it is and things like this. But we got to remember the kingdom of heaven is so much better. We know that justice is going to be served there. We know that we're going to have the right ruling. We know we're going to live under freedom and joy and things like this. And so, you know, the past few weeks, I've just been really pressing in and really pressing in. I'm going through this class with these guys and really finding what Yahweh wants, because all the garbage that we grew up with as kids, we bring that. And we forget to have the joy. We forget to have that love. Look at our children. They find joy in everything. And we look at them and even smile. They don't have a worry about nothing.
Right.
You know, and with Donald Trump, I think the guy is amazing. No, he's not perfect. No, he opens his mouth and inserts his feet up clear up to his knees.
Sure.
But what did Yeshua do? What did Yeshua do? He told the people the truth. He told them about the kingdom of heaven. He told them where our lives are going to be at, where we're going to have the joy. Donald Trump, yeah, he makes his mistake. He's not perfect, but he has stayed true to what he is believing. He is not a puppet. And so Donald Trump is staying true, and these people are crucifying him for what?
For staying true.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just doing what he said he would do. That's all. Yeah, you called it. He does throw the bait out there, and the other side grabs on with those tweets.
Yeah, but I think I
I think what Kenny's bringing up here is one of the reasons. I mean, we don't want to make this a political show, but no. What happens to people is when they if they respect the office of president and they respect these things and they see the president being attacked all the time, it can affect their joy over time.
Exactly.
And so, but I think what I'm hearing you say, Kenny, is that besides all of this, we're required to look to the greater kingdom. Which should
Amen.
Bring us joy. And I really like the other thing that you said. I truly believe that God is committed. I think he's committed to our lives being joyful. And we know that by the children that are in our lives and that you just brought it up. We see joy in those kids, and therefore it warms our hearts again.
Amen. Well, and we know that Yahweh has a great personality. And we know Yeshua has a great personality. Analogy. Look at the three wise guys. Aren't you guys always laughing and joking and things like this? And I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I want to bring joy to people. People are going to look at you. What do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Or why are you so happy all the time? You see all this and you see all that and you're just being, I don't understand why you're happy. Well, let me tell you the love of Yeshua, brother. This is where I'm at.
You know, real quick, yeah. Hey, Kenny, you and Donna are on the same page there. She writes in and says, hey, what should bring us to action? If Messiah is the source of joy, then our action is to bring Messiah to those who don't need him.
Mm. Amen.
To think they don't need him.
Amen exactly to that, right. Too, yeah.
Oh, you know, you guys, are. There's something else here with this, is that this action thing. Kenny, you brought it up. You go, well, you have people that say, hey, I'm joyful and I'm acting joyful. Well, that goes along with Angie today. It's a choice. Do I want to feel grumpy, or can I start talking about God? Or can I start reading about him? Can I start exploring about him? And then that's my action. And hopefully that changes my attitude.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and I misspoke. Okay. She said those who don't know him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to share something with you guys that just blew me away. I mean, I was dumbfounded. I was talking to a Christian brother all a few years back, and he was out of a job. He couldn't provide for things. And I said, you know, brother, the only thing I can do for you is pray.
Mm. I am tired of people praying for me all the time. That doesn't do any good.
I know, right?
Like, really? Okay. I'll pray for you on the side here.
Sure.
You know, but, and it's a choice. We choose to love our wife. We choose to love the Messiah. It's a choice.
Hmm. Choose and this day whom you shall serve.
Oh, man.
Where's that found?
Josiah. What is it? 24:15?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Choose this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
That's what I'm going to do. And, you know, guys, I'm going to make it short because I know you're running out of time. I'm going to speak for myself, and hopefully I can speak for a lot of the other people that listen to you guys. You guys are a blessing. Mm. You really, really are. You bring joy to my heart. You just be able to lift me up and make me stop and think about some of the things that I need to do to reflect on what Yahweh's done. And you guys are always laughing and joking, but you come to a serious point.
Mm.
Just, you guys are a blessing, and I hope everybody else hears and be able to bring that to you. So thank you for bringing the joy and the blessing to me.
Well, thank you, and you're a blessing to us by calling in and being involved, part of the conversation.
And sharing your story. I love it.
Yes, praise Yahweh.
I love those stories.
Thanks, Kenny.
You're welcome.
Hey.
Shalom, shalom.
All right. Shalom. Love you. Shalom. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Wow, what a joy.
What a joy.
What a joy, right?
What a joy.
So I don't know if it was on the break or earlier during our conversation, Roland, where you said, you know, can we find joy in the Old Testament, that old thing, the Tanakh? Did you?
Well, the Tanakh, the Psalms is full of it. The Proverbs is full of it.
Yeah, you're putting that out. Let's go back even farther.
But I wasn't sure about the Torah itself, which is the first five books.
So what if we were to turn to Devarim or Deuteronomy?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What if we were to turn to chapter 28, that whole chapter of blessings and curses?
Ooh, okay.
Love it. And I'll just read the first four words in verse 1, and then I'm going to jump to another verse.
Okay.
If you fully obey. Let me just start there. If you fully obey.
Fully obey. Fully obey.
Fully obey. And now let's jump over. That was verse 1. Because let's go over to 47. Okay? So just keep that. If you fully obey.
Okay.
47. Because you did not serve Yahweh, your God, joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Can you think of any countries, any world that's going through prosperity right now?
Wow.
Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies Yahweh sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you.
So we are commanded. We are commanded to be joyful, especially in times of prosperity.
Yeah.
And of plenty.
Wow.
And I we get it that everybody's not there, and we get that.
Yeah.
Because we all have lean times, don't we? We've all gone through them, right, Gus? We all have.
Oh, yeah.
And, and if you're going through that now, you know, let all the believers, you know, let them know so they can pray, know how to pray for you. And,
so in short, he's saying that because you did not serve Yahweh by doing all those commands with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, if you do not serve him, then you're going to be
wiped out.
Taken in,
destroyed.
Well, you're by your enemies. Now, the enemies can be, in a modern day sense, the enemy can be anything that's discouraging or that's wiping out your faith.
Yes, taking us away from Yahweh.
That's an enemy.
Yep.
Yep.
Anything that pulls you away from Yahweh is an enemy.
Yeah.
Whoa. So we were. Okay. Does that really sink into you guys? Anything that pulls you away from Yahweh would be deemed an enemy.
Sure.
Well,
so what could pull us away from him? I mean,
almost everything. Well, everything other than him.
Even our discouragement could pull us away from him.
Our joy, if we put it in the wrong things.
That could pull us. That's an enemy.
Yep.
Could the festivities maybe that we're all experiencing right now that are really not his days distract you from him?
Could.
Well, for some people it would, but others wouldn't. Right. You know, to be honest, I
can go for myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything, an enemy is what just gets you to quit believing in your kingdom.
To quit trusting in him.
Yeah. And if the kingdom is Yahweh's kingdom and it's a big kingdom and the enemies are against that kingdom, even in Revelation, we're told that the world will surround his kingdom to try to destroy it. Uh-huh. Why wouldn't it? It is surrounding right now.
Yeah. It has probably been surrounding all along.
Yeah.
These end of days, it'll just keep getting tighter and tighter.
Yeah.
So I should expect the warfare to get bigger.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still required to keep his commandments in a joyful way.
So I think that moving into action points, one of the action points needs to be to help build our joy. We need to rehearse over and over again, have this conversation with Yahweh that says, I trust you, and rehearse the reasons why we trust him.
Or could we rehearse it with each other, too?
And with each other. Great. That's with him. I mean, he hears it, right?
So rather than...
I think that's part of him. Part of
we are part of him.
But I'm saying that's part of what as we speak of him, when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, all the time. We are talking about the things, encouraging each other with these words. That's why he tells us, you know, to do this.
I think that's why I'm so convinced right now after this conversation has been going on that Yahweh has to be committed to our joy. Because if he has this kingdom and we're supposed to represent his kingdom, then wouldn't he want us to be joyful? If he wants us to be joyful because we represent him, we're
his hands and feet on the earth.
Thank you. On the earth.
Right? We really are to a world that doesn't have the hope that we possess.
So then anyone who's saying that God doesn't want me to be joyful.
No.
I don't think that's right.
There was a time, let me that I was in a little trap that I don't want people to think I'm, but you know, the joy of Yahweh is our strength, is my strength. And man. Do you ever pray, Father, be strong in my weakness today?
Yeah.
When you just, some days you just don't have that spring in your step like you do other days, right?
You know, that feeling of some days you do, some days you don't. Have you ever kept a journal of like prayer requests and answers?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Why not keep a joy journal?
Ooh.
So you can refer back in those times. You just feel you're in that area.
Are you
of
a master journaler?
No.
I sense you really hard for me to write.
Just like everything else, it's hard to get that pattern. But if you did.
To get that, the habit.
If we did.
And wouldn't it be cool to find out you were a part of someone else's joy journal?
Oh, yeah.
Guy, yes.
Let me give you one more example, and then I'll shut this here. But
no,
I mean,
this is good.
We've got a few minutes.
Well, I have this little angst thing against Christians and people who.
Why?
Well, no, it's this thing that I can't give someone a compliment because I'm afraid their head might get bigger.
Oh.
It still bothers me.
Or accept a compliment?
Or accept one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because we don't seem to hand them out quickly because, oh, you know, those gifts are just from God and I don't want you to feel big. Well, let me give you an example. Okay?
I don't mind feeling big.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind it. You know, I had told you guys that I go out to different states or countries to coach choir groups. Well, the choir group that I coached up in Canada came down and was doing a concert here locally. And I snuck in towards the end of that, okay? Mm-hmm. And the kids all finished, and they came out, and they saw me. Yeah, and I got hugs. That felt good, dadgummit.
Yeah.
And,
sure, you bet.
And to hear someone say, you know, man, thank you for coaching this. This is really cool. Thanks for coming here. And, you know, we really appreciate you. Those words sent me for the rest of the day. I was okay.
Man, that made your day.
So why not? Why can't we compliment people, and why don't we do it enough? Why can't we be a part of someone else's joy journal?
I think that's a real good point. I think that we need to allow the blessing that comes from them blessing you or congratulating you or saying thank you and say, you're welcome. Praise Yahweh.
Yeah, right.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Accept it graciously.
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah, we have to be discerning.
Yeah.
But maybe just like we have to be discerning in giving gratitude, we also have to be discerning in receiving it, and that builds joy too. That's part of our action list.
But you know, we don't want to be, we don't want to flatter. I mean, there's a line there, isn't there?
Well, flatter is something like,
yeah, of course.
Oh, you're just so great. That's a flatter. But here's a non-flatter. Rick, I really appreciate the joy that you bring whenever you come to the radio show. See,
Yahweh.
So how did you take that right now? Did you take it with an open heart and say, thanks, Rollin?
Yeah. It's all, yeah. Father's good.
Think about it. I mean,
a lot of times we feel a little uncomfortable, don't we,
when people
give us. And we shouldn't probably, but we do because we're human.
You know, thinking that human aspect, think about Kenny's call.
Yeah.
What a blessing it was to have him compliment us.
Affirm, yeah.
You know, thank you, Yahweh, for having these guys on. And you guys are always so joyful. And that gives me another action point. Surround yourself with joyful people.
Why not?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to hang out with it. Oh, no.
Winnie the Pooh did.
He did.
Winnie.
Yeah. Maybe he was always working on Eeyore, trying to help him along. Get that tail back on him. Let's look up at the sunny side of life. There's always honey at the end of the path. And I know I've mentioned this before, but my wife's aunt, Johanna Schroeder, was a German lady.
Oh, boy.
And people used to ask her, Aunt Honey, why are you always so happy? She goes, I don't hang around crabby people. There's
crabs.
A lot of truth in that, you know?
Don't hang around crabby.
Yeah.
Because, that crabbiness can become contagious, can it?
Yeah.
It really can.
Oh, yeah.
But joy can be, too, see?
Yep. And speaking of contagious, and I know this one's near and dear to your heart.
Tell me.
Does music help you be joyful at all?
Well, the biggest book in the Bible is songs.
Biggest book in the Bible.
That's Psalms.
Psalms.
And then we have another big book. It's called the Song of Solomon.
Huh.
Okay? These are big, big books. And we don't seem to read them enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
we don't sing them.
We
need to be. Well, we do. The group, the Sons of Korah.
Yes.
You know, they sing the Psalms. That's awesome music.
Yes, they do.
Oh,
uplifting.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So song is a way.
Yeah, whenever we get down a little bit and say, we need to turn on some praise music. Let's get going here.
I do have a harder time with some of the genres where, you know, it's like the grunge heavy metal.
You can't even
it's hard
hear
for
the
me
lyrics.
To praise when it's like, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's me, and I'm an old guy.
That's even harder to teach. I've had to coach people with that. But
okay,
so we have some solutions. Okay,
yes.
We're talking about give compliments, accept them.
Uh-huh.
be, get yourself surrounded by other joyful people.
Yep. Make a joy list.
Make a joy list. Mm-hmm. Start a joy journal.
Yep. Rehearse with God why you trust him.
Why do I trust him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Music. Listen to music.
Listen to music. You know what? Even we've done this show before. Join a choir.
Oh,
do you
yes.
know that people who sing in a choir live 7 years longer than the average person?
7 years?
7 years.
Everybody should be signing up for a choir after this. Yes.
Ron, are you going to start a choir?
We need to,
I think.
A
local choir? I think we do.
I think.
If you live 7 years longer,
do it.
I think we better have a choir.
What else you got, guys?
Well, I'm kind of thinking we take the long view. We look at eternity. I mean, yeah, today I'm going to have problems. But if I'm always, always, always pointing to eternity.
The bigger kingdom.
Oh, this life is just but a spit in the bucket.
And in this world, there will be tribulation, but be of good cheer, for our King has overcome the world.
And amen. Happy day.
His word is the light, a lamp for our feet. His light now shines, the darkness must flee. The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the